The saga continues. Season 2 of Wu-Tang, an American Saga, is now streaming on Hulu. On their way to the top, fractures within the clan are starting to appear. With Wu-Tang's musical future up in the air, Bobby looks to keep them on track to achieve their position as one of the most unlikely American success stories. The Wu-Tang clan will have to overcome even more obstacles, odds, and past beef as they come together to create the iconic album, Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers. Stream the Season 2 finale this Wednesday, only on Hulu.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the program right now, young lady I'm just now meeting at the request of Coach,
yes,
and P of QC, Lakia, on the program.
Hey.
Now, I'm pleasantly surprised because your Funk Flex freestyle's fire.
Oh, thank you.
It was very good. I was just watching it before you came in the room, and they wanted us to start this conversation once P came in here because I think he's concerned that we might be a little too critical of your rap skills.
Right.
But I think you got this. You ain't worried about it.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
You a rapper.
Yeah, I was going to say, her energy does not connote someone who's worried.
Not at all. No. Concerned.
What was that like, the Flex experience, by the way? Because I know that could be a nerve-wracking spot for any up-and-comer to end up in.
I was prepared. Yeah. So, you know.
You didn't feel.
I just came to do my thing.
So when you sat down, you didn't feel the
Give
weight.
It up for Pete in the building. Y'all, I tried to start the interview before you got in here. Because I knew you was going to try to protect her. You know what I'm saying? You was going to protect your new artist. So I had to start early.
How y'all doing?
What up, Pete?
How you doing, bro?
Pull that mic close. So, Lakia, we were just getting to the Flex freestyle. So when you sat down in that seat, though, and Flex is sitting there next to you, what that moment feel like? Because that also just has to feel cool and like an accomplishment to even get into that spot.
It felt like how it felt when I got my mixtape with DJ Drama.
Yeah.
Like, very surreal. Like, oh, I'm finna spit for Funk Flex, you know? But I did what I had to do.
So
I'm excited for everybody to see
it. So now, I watch a couple of your videos. You represent Milwaukee. I see you making a concerted effort as an artist to separate yourself from just being a pretty face.
Yes.
Like, you want it to be about these bars and these raps and where you come from. Who, as a rapper, inspired you, and how... walk us through how you're going to do that, because there is a lot of the game that is, you know, the strip club and the popping the bottles and things, but it feels like you want to be on the pavement, you want to be with the people, you want to be rhyming.
Yes. Well, a huge influence is obviously Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
She cared about the bar. She was more than a pretty face.
Right.
And I listen to a lot more like men. I love Rick Ross, T Grizzly. Just people that just be rapping, give me that luxury vibe.
Expensive words, yeah, expensive,
you know,
vibes.
Yeah. Drake, you know, all of them, man. I'm just going to continue to be myself. I feel like my talent got me this far, so.
When did you first write a rhyme? When did you first get in a cypher? When did that happen?
I was 15 when I did my first rap. I was doing a poetry slam, and they was like, you sound way more like a rapper.
Mm.
So I just went and did a challenge, and that was my first viral moment, and I just kept going from there.
Really? So it was that fast?
Mm-hmm.
So you was always into writing, though,
yes,
as a youngster?
Because I can sing, so I was just always like writing little songs, poems and stuff.
What was the first challenge that went viral? What was that?
So Gone Challenge.
Mm. Oh, you was on that?
Wow, that's how old we are, by the way. That's where we are in life, that we're talking to someone who's now made it and signed from the So Gone Challenge, which felt like it was
fire.
35 seconds ago.
What was that, 6 years, 5 years ago?
That was a minute ago. That was like in 2015, 2016.
Wow, yeah, five, 6 years ago already.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you feel that, like, I'm not going to lie, I do feel that it's interesting. We have so many different women who do so much in hip-hop, but on a commercial level, as far as acceptance go,
yes,
it does feel like, I have a frustration that it feels like even the artists that I like that talk about sex, all they do is talk about sex. It's so, so big, the sex talk. And then they're like, oh, everyone's a sex talk female rapper. And then we'll show Rhapsody, right? Like, that's the only sort of thing that
there's
it
no
seems,
in between.
It doesn't feel like women have been afforded, yeah, to have some middle ground.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that's the case too? That there's a little bit of
oh yeah,
an opening for that? Someone who has more than just sex and more than underground, but kind of a mix of everything.
We were talking to Flex yesterday, and he was saying, like, now people are looking for talent, too. Like, we done seen so many people succeed off not having talent. So now they looking for that, too, and I'm hoping I can be that girl. Got that middle ground. Because I can do everything. You know, I can do the R&B stuff. I can talk about sex. You know, but I really want relationships, life. Right? But I want to do everything, you know? And I really want to show motherfuckers, like, it ain't the niggas that's just doing this. Girls can do it, too. I know a lot of hard people. But that commercial stuff do get you in the door first.
You know? Now, Pete, what did you see here? How did you meet Lakia? How did you come across his talent?
She got a DM me.
Oh, really?
So was that like around the time y'all was up here and you would say you and Coach was talking about how y'all was looking for artists and you always checking your DMs? I saw you do a few interviews like that.
Yeah, she just always would DM me, and then it was you know how you go on your page and folks be spamming your comments and stuff like that. Like,
well, she was one of those.
I had my fans doing it.
Oh,
you saw that she had a built-in fan base.
Yeah, so people kept adding her. And then I just went on her page. I just was seeing her rapping and like she was doing these little freestyles in her car or like in her house. But like she'd been sitting in her car. I was like, damn, that little girl saying something. But I was so focused on my other business, I ain't had time for that. Because I was like, that's going to take a lot of work, you know. But she kept hitting me, and then one day I DM'd her back, and I was like, what's up? I said, what's going on with you? And then she was like, I've been waiting on you to hit me for months or whatever. And then I was like, I'm going to keep watching. I'll get back to you. But then, like, maybe, like, how long was it?
8 months.
She'll remember. Might not remember. She will.
July.
Yeah, it was like 8 months later. I had seen Baby. She did one of them challenges or something.
I did We Paid.
Yeah. I seen Baby, like, I think he was on Twitter or something. He was just like, I don't know who this girl is. He was like, but she hard as hell. And I was looking. I be paying attention to everything. I was like, what girl he talking about? Then I looked, I'm like, oh, that's the girl who already been hollering. I'm like, that's a sign. Let me just round back and holler at her. And then, you know.
Yeah.
What did, talk about Milwaukee, because the last artist I remember going mainstream from Milwaukee was Cuckoo Cal. My Projects.
My Projects was South to Cypher Sound.
And I know that there is a big music scene in Milwaukee, has been. But talk about, the spotlight you want to bring to your city and even the spotlight that was put on the city with the most recent NBA championship, too.
Yes. So I definitely want to shine some light. It's so much talent there. And right now I am focusing on getting me, my hit, getting in the door and stuff. But my city is so, so excited about me. So I'm excited for them.
The radio supporting you there, like all that.
The people support me. It's like y'all said, we haven't had a person out of there since Cuckoo Cal. And Rico Love is a producer and stuff. But
Rico Love's from Milwaukee?
Rico Love is from Milwaukee.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
Wow, and he's phenomenal. Yeah. What was you saying, Pete?
How long is...
Cuckoo Cal?
Yeah.
My Projects was like 2000?
2001. I was just born.
Wow. Yeah. Cypher Sounds was the A&R of that project. That was he brought that to the label. But it's been a long time. Yeah. And Milwaukee now, you're right, with the way the focus on the city. And people talk about Chicago's music scene, of course. People even talk about Minneapolis's music scene a lot. But it does feel like Milwaukee gets kind of left out of the conversation.
Detroit obviously gets loved.
And Detroit gets mad, always has. And Milwaukee is this thought of just as this working class city.
Yeah.
But no one really talks about the music.
No one talks about it. A lot of people didn't even know black people were from there. Like, they'd be like, Milwaukee, where is that?
It's a lot of black people in Milwaukee.
It's a lot of black people. It's pretty black.
Matter of fact, Milwaukee helped us during the election. Shout out to Milwaukee in the election out there, too, because it was heavy. Black people showed up heavy in Milwaukee.
How far is Kenosha, Wisconsin from Milwaukee?
Like 45 minutes.
So, like, there's still a lot of active protests going on in Wisconsin as well. Like, it's a very, you know, there's a lot of social work being done there as well.
You got an album out already?
No.
Or just the drama tape?
Three mixtapes.
I want to play a record. What's the record we should be playing? What's the song everybody should be rocking?
We'll focus track.
Female Goat?
That's my fave, but...
You and T. Grizzly?
Let's do 313-414. 313 to the 414.
You got Moneybagg Yo on a record?
I say the one with me and T. Grizzly.
You and T. Grizzly.
Since we talking about the meal and the D.
All right.
All right.
Y'all give it up. Lakia.
Lakia.
One time. 413-414 Milwaukee.
Seven Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave is on the phone. We have another episode of Curve.
Oh, it's on.
Let's get it, man. Dave, we're going to try to get Cynthia on behalf of Dave. Dave says, we went out to eat in Brooklyn. She had quinoa salad. He had steak. Uh-oh. Why was he paying attention to her quinoa? That sounds judgmental already. Okay. They had a nice conversation. Nothing happened after the date. No kiss and nothing. She has not been responding to him. He texted her 3 times, called twice. Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
You like Cynthia, but why did you point out the quinoa salad?
Well, okay, here's the deal. I thought Cynthia was really cool, but she only had the quinoa. I had the steak. I told her I was really hungry that day. She didn't seem to mind. But after dinner, I noticed things got a little weird with her. Everything was cool.
Yeah, so you think your steak? Cool, you think your steak turned her off?
Maybe, man. Maybe.
Wait, was she? Is she a vegetarian?
She did say she was a vegetarian, but she never said anything that I couldn't have a steak.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's pretty. It seems pretty. Listen, these vegetarians, they serious, Dave.
But we in 2018, man. I mean, everyone's gonna eat meat.
No,
it's kind of the other way around.
Kind of the other way, Dave.
Is that real?
Fake kosher ass member.
Wow, just go ahead. Just be Jewish, man.
It's so like extra.
Just go full blown, man. Stop.
There's other coaches that do that.
Lost already.
Cynthia. Hi. Cynthia, good morning. Thanks for coming on the segment Curved.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So we got a man named Dave reached out to us for this segment. And so on his behalf, we thank you for coming on the program and telling us why you haven't called or texted him back.
Yeah, he seemed fine on Bumble, and I, you know, I figured, let's go out. But here was the thing. I told him straight up when we first talked that I was a vegetarian, right? And then we go out to eat, and he orders a big old steak. And I don't mean just like in front of me, like a bloody piece of meat just up in my face.
Yo, it looked good. It looked real good, didn't it, Cynthia? Keep it 100.
No.
All right, I'm just kidding. I don't eat beef either. But Cynthia, but that's his thing, right? Did you take it as him being offensive to you, like on purpose, like trying to offend you?
I mean, I told him I'm a vegetarian because I really care about animals. I love animals, and that's something that's really important to me. It's a big part of who I am. I told him that. Like, he couldn't just chill, like, for the first date. Like, he had to get that big old piece of flesh in front of me. It
maybe,
was bloody.
I mean, look, Cynthia, he's keeping it real, though. That's who he is.
Sometimes keeping it real goes wrong.
Facts.
Yeah, no, I kept it real.
Now, let me ask you this, Cynthia.
So we really not speaking.
Well, Cynthia, I was trying to set it up. Maybe hopefully you guys could iron this out. Maybe there was a second opportunity. Dave's on the line because I wanted him to hear basically what happened. Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So now you know. You offended Cynthia.
Cynthia, no offense, but you never said it was disrespectful not to eat meat in front of you. I'm not a mind reader. I heard what you said, but I didn't realize that.
I shouldn't have to say something to you about it. I already told you that I was a vegetarian. I already told you why I was a vegetarian.
But not everybody gets it, Cynthia. Not everybody's...
And there's plenty of people who are vegetarian that don't mind going out to eat with other people that have other, you know, choices. As long as you don't put that meat on their plate, they're good.
True.
Speak on it.
That is very true. I got friends like that.
Maybe, but that's just not for me. I'm good.
Let me ask you this. I noticed Marc Jacobs don't do fake bags. So what was that about?
Oh, shit.
What? Excuse me? Okay, no. That was a birthday present.
Wait, you had a leather bag?
You have a leather bag, son?
What?
That bag looks good, okay?
Oh, get out of here. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, now
But you can't say to me about it. That was a birthday.
Oh, now you want to cut.
Now she mad.
And hey, I ain't the type of person that eat meat all the time. That day, I was hungry and I was craving a steak. And
Big
steak.
Now you should be like, yo, Cynthia, I got some meat for you to eat. Hold this.
You know, I'm just looking for somebody that shares my values, and I don't need to deal with
that. Your values are trash, man. You got a leather purse.
It's not going to work out for them.
Losers.
Think you got curved? Hit us up right now at gotcurved@gmail.com so we can get to the bottom of it for you.
Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
It's Ebro, Laura Rosenberg. Ebro in the Morning, what's happening? Tiffany Caban repping Queens on today because we got to dig into and we've been texting behind the scenes. We've covered this a little on Ebro in the Morning, but things going on at Rikers, which has been a... hellhole to say the least for many, many years, which is why people have wanted it shut down. But over this last year, 12 people have died due to mismanagement, COVID safety issues, just it being a shit show, if you will. Tiffany, thanks for joining the program.
No, thanks for having me. And now the number is 13. Another person died 2 days ago.
So what's happening, Tiffany? Because all I see is every time I turn on the news, it's a mess. What exactly is changed? What's different? What's new? What's happening?
It is beyond a humanitarian crisis. Like if we saw this happening in another country, we would not hesitate to be like, no, these are crimes against humanity. These are war crimes. But I do want to preface it by putting things into like a little bit of a wider context until we dig into it. Like, you know, we do a lot of zooming in on individuals and these things that they may or may not have done that caused harm. And we tend to view that in a silo. But the reality is that when you zoom out, we're struggling, right? Our Black and brown communities are consistently starved of resources that, quite frankly, our government puts into white or wealthier communities. Mm-hmm. And instead we get over-policing instead of resources. And we shouldn't pretend that our communities don't have to fight harder for opportunities for success. And then a pandemic hits and these problems get a lot worse. So we're already over-policing and throwing people on Rikers Island because they're poor, because they have mental health issues, because they're struggling with drug use, all of these different systemic racist problems, right? I was a public defender for over 7 years and heard and saw horrific things. And I can tell you it is exponentially worse in this moment. And the last thing that I want to preface it with is to remind people who is on Rikers. Rikers is a jail. It's not a prison. So there are like three main categories. You got majority of folks that are there, not proven guilty of anything, charged with a crime, presumed innocent, and simply can't buy their freedom because they can't afford their bail. They had money in their pocket. They'd be able to walk out that door. And that's real. And then you have folks that are serving what we call city sentences. So they were found guilty, pled guilty to a misdemeanor, a low-level offense, serving short sentences, less than a year, that we should be treating with services and support instead of incarceration, because we know that that works better. And then technical violations, right? Folks that are on parole or supervision, they miss an appointment, they had a dirty urine, something like that. And you know, I actually want to ask y'all how much you want to hear about what's going on in there, because I think I would have to preface it also with like a trigger warning, because I saw some things that were deeply, deeply traumatizing.
Nah, you go. I think on this program we get into it. So yeah, you could preface it. I think our audience, most of the Hot 97 audience, has either been to Rikers themselves, or has a family member that has been through there. Like that's how frequently people in New York who are Black and brown have had interactions with Rikers Island.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and I preface it all by saying Rikers has been a piece of shit for a long time. Not only the amount of time, you know, blame it on the courts, blame it on whatever you want to blame it on, the amount of time somebody has to sit there and wait for their date, that's been a problem for a long time. Yep. The pandemic exacerbated that because courts were closed, so you had people just stuck, backlogged, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I'm glad you're here today because while I think everyone is on the page of shutting Rikers down, they still haven't solved the how, right?
That's right. That's right. So I went there a few weeks ago. I spent about eight hours touring the facilities, talking to folks there. And again, I just want to like lay out the trigger warning, because I saw self-harm, saw some really horrible things. You had people in what we call intake, right? So they haven't been assigned to their permanent housing unit yet, in a big room congregate setting while, you know, COVID is rampant. A bunch of people living in their human waste, right? Like defecating and relieving themselves in bags, moldy food on the floor, not enough access to food that you could actually eat, days and days at a time. And when you're in intake, you don't get access to like call in your lawyer, you don't get access to your family, and you don't get access to medical care. And so you had folks that were really, really ill and not getting treatment. And then we toured other areas, and consistently you saw that people were not getting fed regularly. There were people, I mean, we talk about the deaths, but the harm being done, it goes, you know, it's short of that, but not short of that also. People walking around with broken bones. I talked to folks with walking around with broken noses, broken ribs, people who needed surgery but couldn't see, you know, a doctor. People literally consistently hadn't seen sunlight for a month at a time. They were getting what we call rec time, maybe once a month. And that might not seem serious, but like, we're human beings. We need fresh air. We need sunlight. And the mental harm that gets done, because, you know, when we went out to the yard to talk to folks, I talked to a gentleman that was like, you know, they were heading back inside, and he was like, you know, we've been on hunger strike for over 3 days, over 100 of us, demanding to come outside because we haven't been granted our rec time, demanding. And we thought that maybe that's why we got outside today. And then we saw that y'all came through, right? And how much that just fucks with your head, and thinking, here I was putting my body on the line, you know, demanding to be treated like a human with some dignity. And they didn't care about that. They just cared that some politicians were coming through, so they brought us outside. Like, what that does to your spirit, right? And one of the last areas I'll share with you is, you know, we were in what we call like an MO area, people that were experiencing some sort of, you know, mental health issue, and nobody was getting access to doctors. I spoke to a guy who self-harmed. He admitted that, you know, what he does is he cuts himself. It's tied to his mental health issues. And he had all of these scars on his body, which is something I'm used to seeing, you know, in my career as a public defender, but something that was really jarring. And I just like spoke to the level of depravity on the island at this moment was, you know, he showed me these fresh wounds that he had on his arm, clearly getting infected. And he was like, Miss, you know, I know that this is what I do, but this is not even why I'm hurting myself right now. I'm begging to see a doctor, and they won't let me see a doctor. And the only way I can see a doctor now is if I hurt myself to the point that they put me on suicide watch. Mm. And then they throw me off of suicide watch, and I'm begging them that I keep needing to see a doctor. I can't do that. And to me, it's something like, I could not get that out
of my head. Tiffany, you know, it's going on. You know, I know people are outraged, and rightfully so, and I'm glad that it's happening, right? And I'm glad the whole shut Rikers thing down and blaming the institution and the mayor, and I'm for all of that. I also want to point out, though, this is the American prison system. I have a family member who recently just got out of Fed time.
Seven Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
He's over 70 years old, okay? He was in so much pain, and this is at the federal level. He had I don't know what it's called, but it's like 1 in 1,000 people get it at his age. And they say people commit suicide from something, a nerve issue in his brain that causes so much pain. he wasn't able to get it dealt with until he got out of, and this is federal prison.
Mm-hmm.
Prison, like long term. He wasn't even able to get the surgery until last 2 weeks ago when he got out. This is going on around the entire country of prison systems. When's the last time somebody went down and looked at what goes on in Angola, down in Louisiana, in the deep, deep South? You had Yo Gotti and Jay-Z suing, what was the prison institution in Memphis, or right outside of Memphis, Tennessee, right? Like, when you go around the nation, some states get it right, some states are, and by right, I mean better than others. But what you're seeing at Rikers is indicative of what's going on in a lot of prisons around the country. And I'm glad we have people like yourself and other politicians that want to figure out how to improve what's happening. But the neglect of prisoners is a thing. Mm-hmm. The neglect of just humane conditions to serve your time is a thing. And then when you get put, let's say you get, you're in jail for something that doesn't have to do with a violent crime. It doesn't have any, you're in there with people who did some shit. Especially if you black and brown and you didn't get one of the nice resort, institutions where they got areas to walk around and it's all lavish and all that shit on the federal level. You get dumped in some places in America. This is a problem. It's been a problem, and I'm glad we're talking about it now. But I just wanted to add that context because it's fucking bad.
And we get sold these lies that, like, this is also what's going to make us safer. Because the reality is when I talk about the things, and you talk about the things that folks inside are experiencing, you got to remember that 97% of the time, those folks are being dropped right back in their communities, deeply, deeply traumatized. And then what do you expect, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, what are we doing to set up systems to support people? Because also, like, when I talk about zooming out, these are people. These are our loved ones. Like, yes, people that may or may not have done harm. And the other thing is, like, hurt people. But they're people we love, who love other people too, right? And those relationships actually are what put you on a path to be able to be safer, to be healthier. On Rikers, for example, we spend $400,000 a year to lock somebody up on Rikers for a year. And when I tell you those three categories of people that are there, that's money that could be spent on housing, on mental health care, on all of these different things, right? And tying it back to things that people can do, I can tell you that in the time that I have done, criminal justice reform, advocacy and abolition work, this moment, something's happening. And I feel like I've been banging my head up against the wall for a long time. But this is a moment where I think people generally, like everyday people, the folks that listen to your show, other people, like there's some pressure to be put on to continue to see some results, because we can see some of the movement to change some of these things.
Now, over the last 10 years, the population of Rikers has been reduced by what, 50% or something?
A little less than that, but what we saw was that pre-pandemic, it went down to its lowest that it had been. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, citing public health crisis and all those things, we rapidly decarcerated. We got over 1,200 people off the island in 21 days, didn't make us any less safe, right? Like debunking all of this fear-mongering that other folks do. And then something happened. And I don't know if, the energy was off, people stopped giving a shit, but the population has grown really fast right back up. The population on Rikers is very high again. And, what we got to do is get people off the island.
I think it's what you're pointing out is pre-pandemic, there was a lot of optimism and obviously, people, services and things were, I guess, and I'm using air quotes here, functioning to try to get to a place where, we are giving people the services to try to help them improve, right? I think what the pandemic did was exacerbate our, and in all forms, if you look at it, as a society, exacerbated the worst of who we are, right? Not only because people get into a fear position and they just get like, throw it away, fuck this, fuck that. I think as a society, what jail represents and what prisons around the country represent is laziness in many ways, where we discard human beings because they don't fit into society in ways that we want them to, or we don't have the tools to fix the damage that society has done to them, or you know what I'm saying? That's created the atmosphere
that blame,
for them to be
right?
Humans.
It's exactly
around.
What you're saying. We love personal responsibility narratives. We love to be like, this person needs to own their actions without taking into context that, you know, we drop people in these environments and like literally deprivation breeds desperation. Right. It breeds more opportunities to do harm than to do good things.
Right.
or have access to good choices.
Well, and that's what's happening right now is we're coming out of a period where we had an awakening dealing with this pandemic. We got to see how selfish and lazy and undisciplined we are as a society, which is why this thing is dragged on so long. We arguing over vaxxers. We argued over masks. We argued over, you know, this, all these things that should have been like, yo, let's come together and save some lives, right? Let's come together and help people who are vulnerable. Let's come together and help. But that's not who we are as a society. Too frequently. We want to be, right? This is who we want to be, the things we talk about. And a lot of people have hope to get there, but prison, jail, and all of this, you know, the real underbelly of who we are, when that skirt gets lifted up, you get to see what's going on. And Rikers is one of those things.
That's a fact.
So what happens next with the shutting down of Rikers and how... I mean, we're talking about 13 dead just this year, yeah. At Rikers, when people are put in a position where they should not be dying at Rikers. Yeah. What happens next?
And nobody should be dying, period. But even on like a larger scale in New York, we don't have the death penalty. We won't believe in it. We say it's cruel and unusual punishment. And it is insane that we are okay with sending people to Rikers knowing that doctors, medical professionals are saying, don't send them here because there's a real risk of death. We can't do it. So what comes next? It's like short and long-term goals, right? We have to take a multifaceted approach. It's not just one thing. It's a bunch of different things, but we can do it, right? Yes, we got to close Rikers. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but we got to get people off the island, and we have to create and put resources in the infrastructure that's going to support that. And we can do it. I don't want to hear that we can't, because we find money for all types of shit.
Oh, we have the money.
You can't find money for these things.
We have the money. It's just whether or not it's going to get signed off and allocated to black and brown people whose society has thrown away.
And you know what works? And it works immediately. And these people are ready to get to work. Violence interruption groups like, you know, KBAIN and community capacity development reduces violence in our communities by upwards of 70% when we're resourcing. And we're putting people to work in their neighborhoods, in the most impacted places. The people who care about, it's their people who are dying, right? Mm-hmm. They care the most overnight. Then there's like things that you wouldn't even think about. In Philly, for example, they gave grants, money, small homeowners to just fix up their homes. Crime went down in the first month by over 25%. NYCHA's dilapidated. Could you imagine what that would mean if we did some repairs in NYCHA? Like, all of these things are connected. Having a clean, healthy, safe space to live in, having access to mediation and being able to squash your beefs without, you know, guns or violence or whatever, having access to healthcare. We can do those things. But the things that people can do also, hell, picking up the trash helps. We've been defunding sanitation. Like, it seems kind of crazy, but empirically proven, evidence-based, this stuff makes our communities safer and healthier. And the things that we have to do right now is, you know, call, you got to make some phone calls. You got to call your Congress members, the mayor, the governor, your city council members, your incoming city council members. And like I said, this moment is different because I have never seen. We've been doing stuff where like state legislators are sitting up in arraignments right now across all of the boroughs. And I talked to my former colleagues that are public defenders, case after case, they're sending bail, sending more people to Rikers. Those legislators are sitting in the courtroom watching, all of a sudden people are going home, right? Like, this shit matters. And it's moving the needle some. And so we really, really have to keep the pressure on and say, this is what we demand. We don't demand half measures. We don't demand shuffling people around and sending them to upstate prisons to get them off of Rikers. Like, we need to get to the root and we got to do better.
And figure out intervention and ways to solve people actually spending real time behind bars.
Yeah.
And Tiffany Caban. Thank you for always coming on the program. Yeah. Thank you for continuing to do the work and keep everybody abreast of everything that's going on and keeping the passion and the momentum for the issues, man. We appreciate you.
No, I appreciate y'all. Always good to be in conversation.
Thanks, Take Steph. Care.
Thanks, Tiffany.
Seven Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.